White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Terrible Tommy here, and it is, what is it? It's June the 3rd, 2016, and we're on our way for another month here. All kinds of things happening in June. Yeah, lots of stuff. Beautiful day here in north central Indiana. A little humid, but, well, I'll tell you, I'm getting this show together a little later because I was out doing a whole bunch of work. We had to bring some limestone in for my driveway and mow the great big yard and fill the holes up the dogs dig so I can don't tip over my lawnmower and all that kind of good stuff. So, oh yeah, and I disassembled a Rubbermaid tool shed, get it ready to move it and put it someplace else. So, we've been busy today, so we're gonna do the show now, and then we're gonna go out and party, man. They got a 50s theme in the park tonight, with rock and roll and country music and all that kind of good stuff. So I think I can make it. Okay. Hey, you know about that Flint, Michigan water where the governor's trying to kill everybody? Well, he is. He's an unindicted killer or attempted killer. The trouble is nobody ever goes to jail. Nobody ever gets lynched, you know. Politicians who do shit things that cause people to die, I'm okay for lynching them. It's like China. China takes them out behind the building, a factory, and shoots them. Yeah. You know, people seem to forget that over one-third of the people in Flint are white. Yeah, everybody's crying about the Negroes, the untouchables. It's going on and on, oh my God, what are we going to do? But there was a lot of white people there. Listen to this.
A simple bath. It's something that the residents of Flint, Michigan haven't been able to enjoy for more than 2 years after the city contaminated residents' water systems by failing to treat the water when they changed water sources. Thousands were subsequently exposed to lead, and doctors treated persistent rashes and hair loss. Thousands were subsequently exposed to lead and other chemicals, and doctors treated persistent rashes and hair loss. After national outrage and promises to clean up the water this week, scientists have recently told residents that unfiltered water, while it's still not safe to drink, is safe enough for hand washing and taking baths and showers.
All the data shows that, to me at least, and to other professionals who study this, that Flint water is no more dangerous than water in other cities, and is probably less dangerous.
That's Mark Edwards, a professor at Virginia Tech's Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering. He and his team at the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering formed a task force to address the problems with Flint city water, and his reassurances aren't necessarily enough for Lulu Brazel and Melissa Mays, both residents in Flint. Melissa Mays is the founder of What Are You Fighting For? And Melissa, first of all, everyone wants to know, you've taken a shower, right?
I did yesterday, and I'm sorry that I did.
Really?
Yes. It's just hard to breathe. My hair color's changed. It burns your nose, your throat, your eyes. We received a shower filter from the plumbers, and it helps a little bit, but it's still way different. We spent a few days away in the Upper Peninsula showering with well water, which is hard, and it was a huge improvement to what we have here in the city.
Lulu, how do you trust government again, ever, after this experience?
I will never trust government 100% ever again.
So what do you do now? How do you recover from this and get a workable solution that's going to eventually lead to a water system you can trust, and then you can get around to the other problems in Flint.
Well, we need our entire infrastructure fixed, and until that's done, nothing's going to fix the water.
And what do you notice in your own home?
Here in my home, our water is blue-tinted. It smells like bleach most days. If you're exposed to it for more than a couple minutes, you tend to start getting a headache. We have rashes that resemble chemical burns if we're in the water for more than a couple minutes. You have to do dishes with gloves on because it messes up your hands and arms. It's not good at all.
And they still are saying the water is safe for washing and taking baths and showers. That sounds like it's absolutely not true in your own home.
Oh, it's not true. They say if you aren't immune compromised or if you're not below a certain age, you're fine to bathe and shower in it. Would you shower in bleach? I know I wouldn't shower in bleach.
Melissa Mays, what have you been able to accomplish with your group? What are you fighting for?
We've had Mark Ruffalo's group from Water Defense in testing homes, and we've been finding across the board high phosphorus in the water, which is what they're putting in phosphoric acid to try to recoat the pipes. It's not working. You can't recoat holes. So instead of all that, all the chlorine and all the additional chemicals they're adding are causing all these byproducts to make our bathrooms like gas chambers. People are lethargic. Like Lulu said, the headaches are horrible, and you just feel awful when you take a shower. And we've limited it down to 5 minutes or less on a lukewarm shower, and it still doesn't matter. My kids have lost so much hair, and it's ridiculous for them to say it's safe when the state themselves are not testing hot water. So I'm asking, you know, how can you say it's safe to shower when you're not even...
Again, the question is, who's been indicted? This was done purposely. I mean, no doubt about it. It was purposely trying to save money, cut corners. But yet, I don't hear of anybody being indicted at all. And I don't see any mass demonstrations by whites. There might be a mixed black group and some whites raising hell, but I haven't seen much of that either. I mean, they're gassing these people in their own showers. And I don't believe this doctor from wherever. You can hire these guys. They're hired gun doctors. They'll come up with any decision, any view of anything that you want. But I was always told that your skin is the largest gland on your body. And that gland does absorb things. Now, all this chemicals in the water in Flint, and you try to take a shower, I think that stuff is not safe, period. Anyhow, I'll be waiting to see if there's any arrests come down the pike. And if not, and the people don't take it into their own hands, well then, what can I say? What can I say? You're responsible for your own self. And as far as trusting government, if you're foolish enough to trust government, you're in bad shape. I've never trusted government. And I never will. Because they're not worth trusting. And they commit all kinds of crime and corruption and genocide and everything else. And cover it up. Yeah. Why? Because they can. Because they can. Got a new sign up in front of my house on the highway or on the road that says, "Send that bitch back to Arkansas." Just like the song says. Tell your mama, tell your pa, I'm going to ship your ass back to Arkansas. That's Hillary. Now you got to understand that Hillary and her husband are probably two of the worst anti-white people in the Western Hemisphere. When he was just starting out in Arkansas and became governor, he was hell on wheels to our people. I know a whole lot of racial people who were indicted under Clinton. He is one son of a bitch, and his wife is even worse. So I want you to know that and remember that. And if you're going to elect somebody like that to run the country, I think Obama is better, really. At least the white side of Obama does okay sometimes. Well, I just got an alert from Stray Dog out here from New Germany. Hey, TT, just got the word on the new Roots series. The episodes are designed to inspire black niggers to rise up and burn their cities and also to commit acts of violence against all white people, especially white women and white children. If possible, accompany loved ones whenever they venture outside. Move in pairs or more. We will see how this new Roots Nigger Power TV series plays out. I can report seeing more state police cruisers in Niggerville today than I've seen in 50 years combined. Zika virus sadly does not affect the nigger, for his brain already is so diminutive that the African nigger is completely impervious to this ailment. I like the idea of the book The Nazi Virus by Philip J. Welch. Suggests that near the end of World War II, Germany sent elite SS medical teams to all corners of the globe to continue their biological research. Their long-term goal is to create a biological agents that would affect the lesser races, then let nature take its course. Onward, Stray Dog, New Germany. Thank you, sir. Well, is this another way to distract the public? Some cities are now awarding police who deal with suspects without brutal force. Gotta pay them not to use brutal force. Isn't that what they're supposed to do all the time? Yeah. Okay, they're gonna give them Kibby dolls for being nice cops. Maybe a dozen donuts. Well, I think there's a couple of naughty boys and a naughty mom here. But maybe not. Maybe they should get an award. A white mother and her two sons attacked a 15-year-old black boy while yelling racial slurs at an Illinois campground, police said. Carrie Weller, 42, and her sons Shane, 19, and Corey, 21, are being charged with hate crimes for punching and kicking and throwing the boy into Canton Lake on Sunday, according to court documents. Weller egged on her kids during the beating, records say. I wonder why. Is there any why to this? They just out of the blue kicked him and punched him, called him whatever, and dumped him in the lake? Nah, he didn't do anything. He's an honor student.
...of Chicago, trying to keep them safe from the violence that's become all too common here. But her 15-year-old son was attacked over the weekend while swimming with friends in Canton. Now, that's a town about 30 miles from Peoria.
As Eyewitness News anchor Shel Burton tells us tonight, police say that the attackers were using racial slurs.
Well, Kathy and Alan, the victim suffered only minor physical injuries, but the attack has shaken his entire family. The suspects are a mother and her two sons, and tonight they are now charged with a hate crime.
Come on, you guys, get up!
It happened Sunday afternoon. The 15-year-old African-American student was swimming with friends when he was confronted by a group of people.
They started beating him up and held him underwater until he pretty much was not breathing.
Tonight, 42-year-old Carrie Weller and her two sons are charged with battery, mob action, and a hate crime. Weller and her son Corey were arrested shortly after the incident. 19-year-old Shane Weller was just taken into custody tonight. The Foleys are stunned to think this could happen where they live.
I'm proud to be from Illinois because I tell people from Alabama, you know, it's not like that up there. And hell, here I got a video of some people trying to drown my brother, call him the N-word.
Well, the Foleys are hoping to bring awareness to this attack to make sure that something like this never happens again in Canton, Alan and Kathy.
Okay. Right, sure.
Now, if that had been a white guy, a white kid that was roughed up and thrown in a lake, held underwater, you wouldn't even see it in the news. It'd be back around the used car section of the newspaper. See, they've given Negroes titles of nobility, and according to the Constitution, that's illegal. You can't give people titles of nobility in this country, but they do it. What else would you call it? that nigger boy, that untouchable, got titles of nobility. He's don't touch him, man. Touch whites, kill whites, drown whites, dump them in the lake. But don't you dare put your hands on black people. Well, a Sikh man was shot dead at his gas station in Newark, New Jersey, in an incident described as a hate crime by his family, who believed he was killed because of his religion. Probably blacks killed him. Police said they found Devender Singh, the 47-year-old victim who came to the U.S. from India 25 years ago, unresponsive at his gas station. On Monday, he was pronounced dead at a hospital. His son, Jatinder Singh, told a TV news network, "There was no robbery, no struggle, no confrontation. I don't know what else it could be other than a hate crime." Yeah, everything's a hate crime. He probably didn't pay his gambling debts. You'll notice how they don't never describe the shooter. His father had just stepped out of the office to get some fresh air when a man, came up to my dad, pointed a gun, and shot him at point-blank range. And when they don't describe the shooter, you can bet it was a black man. Boy, they're beginning to hand out hate crime charges like candy. Boy, I got more and more and more on here on the internet. A hate crime. Well, these blacks in Chicago, they're getting smart as hell. Especially that big, black, fat chief of police. From a computer at Chicago's police headquarters on the city's south side, Deputy Chief Jonathan Lewin pulls up a list of about 1,400 names of people with criminal records. Attached to each name is a mugshot, demographics, prior arrest record, and gang affiliation. There's also a score, determined by a computer algorithm based on 11 weighted variables. The score measures the likelihood of a person to be involved in a shooting, either as a victim or as an offender. The score ranged from 1 to 500, and the higher the score, the more likely the person will be a party of violence. This is really evidence-based policing, says Deputy Chief Lewin. Chicago is at the forefront of a growing trend in police departments across the United States to use big data and algorithms to determine the individuals and places that are most at risk for violence. Some of these risk assessments are astonishingly accurate. Wow. Is that it? Is that the end of the story? I guess it is. Well, I mean, I don't think you need a computer to figure out that on Saturday night there's going to be a lot of Negroes die. They got a big spike in crime again. In Chicago, my hometown. No, that's not my hometown. Anyhow, they got it all figured out so they can tell how many people are going to get killed in a certain night of the week, I guess. Gee, that's wonderful. Well, also in Chicago, violent crime is on the rise. The murder rate is up 40%. Over this time last year. Ailsa Chang talks to Mary Mitchell, a columnist with the Chicago Sunday Times. Wow. Something else. Not only is the murder rate up 40%, but over the Memorial Day weekend in Chicago alone, almost 70 people were shot. Here in the Chicago Police Department's Eddie T. Johnson speaking on Tuesday. People is afraid in Chicago. Chicago has lost a large population of Negro Americans. Must have gone back down south. People have moved out. They've moved to the suburbs. Oh, into the white neighborhoods, yeah. I've talked to a lot of parents who've actually shipped their children out of town to live with relatives and grandparents because of the crime here in Chicago. We can't do anything about it, though. So I would say that in a lot of these neighborhoods, people are very, very, very much afraid. Chang says, why is violence getting worse here in Chicago? Well, I think it's a two-prong situation. One is because of on one hand, you have a lot of gang activity. We just can't deal with it. You still have a lot of drug activity. But the other thing is that you have the conflict between the Chicago Police Department and the community. There you go. Blame it all on the cops. If police feel overburdened, that they're not being respected, that they're under the spotlight, and whatever happens, there's going to come back to haunt them, and actually they're not. Oh, yeah? I don't think they're as aggressive at stopping people and pulling people over and stop and frisk and trying to pick up guns. Chicago had a reputation of taking a lot of guns off the street. We're seeing a slowdown on guns being removed. So I think you see a lot of guns in the wrong hands. A lot of hot-headed young people, young black people, who are using those guns. That's interesting, Chang said. Do you think the police agree with that theory? That they would acknowledge that they were backing off and not as resulted in a rise in violence? Mitchell said, yes. Mayor Rahm Emanuel made a statement about police being in a fetal position because of the complaints and demonstrations across the country because of police-involved shootings. And now we have our own police-involved shooting that got national attention. That was the Laquan McDonald, who was shot 16 times by a police officer when he had a toy gun. Jeez. And that was on tape. I think police officers are very much concerned about being caught up in a situation where when they use force, that they're going to be accused of using excessive force. Anyhow, that's about that. That's enough of that stuff. Chicago, Chicago. Chicago's not going to change. It's always been bloody Chicago. Well, I see Glenn Pecker's in trouble. He's been suspended from his Sirius XM radio show that I never listened to. It's unbelievable. He was suspended for a week for not reining in his guest fiction author Brad Thor, who hinted that maybe President Donald Trump should be removed from office by a patriot because the feckless Congress won't do it. I think they meant Obama, didn't they? Wait a minute. Who hinted that maybe President Donald Trump should be removed from office by a patriot because the feckless Congress won't do it? They made a misprint. With a veterans, spineless Congress we have, who will stand in the way of Donald Trump overstepping his constitutional authority as president? Oh, that's right. Glenn Pecker hates Donald. If Congress won't remove him from office, if he gets in there, what patriot will stand up and do that if he oversteps his mandate as president? His constitutional granted authority, I should say, as president. Wow. These so-called conservatives are getting pretty rough. Yeah, Brad Thor is getting way ahead of himself. It's a violation of federal law, of course, to threaten the life of a Secret Service protectorate. And it's against all journalistic ethics to let a guest on your talk show go so far without putting a lid on it. It's your show, Glenn Pecker. But it's not the first time a so-called conservative has promoted Second Amendment remedies for their electoral frustrations. Even a nobody on Twitter knows well enough to stick an LOL at the end of their threats. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give my left giblet right now for a political dynasty.
Hang on just a second. So I still wouldn't vote for it.
No, but I'd much prefer that.
When we're looking at that, Brad, a lot of people will say, He is not going to do it. A lot of people in Washington believe this. A lot of people in the press believe this. Most Americans say he's not going to do that. He is.
That's
this is
ridiculous. How do they know? Trump is. Listen,
Because here's how they say it. Here's how they say it. Because he's a businessman who always gets things done, and so he knows he has to compromise.
BS. BS. Trump does not compromise. Trump has the ability to hire and fire people, to hire contractors, fire contractors. People who work for Trump can work for him or stop working for him. If he gets into the White House, we have to deal with him. And I'll tell you, one of the best examples I have seen of who Trump really is, I have been mistakenly comparing him to a potential Mussolini. And about a week ago, Foreign Affairs did an amazing article about the caudillos, the strongmen of Latin America, and that is who Trump is. He's a Chavez. He is a Perón. That is the type of guy he is. And I guarantee you, Glenn, that during his presidency, during his reign, if you will, he is going to petition the American people to allow a temporary suspension of the Constitution so that he can help America get back on his feet again. He is a danger to America. And I got to ask you a question, and this is serious. This could bring down incredible heat on me because I'm about to suggest something very bad. It is a hypothetical I am going to ask as a thriller writer. With the feckless, spineless Congress we have, who will stand in the way of Donald Trump overstepping his constitutional authority as president? If Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up and do that? If he oversteps his mandate as president, his constitutional granted authority, I should say, as president, if he oversteps that, how do we get him out of office? And I don't think there is a legal means available. I think it will be a terrible, terrible position the American people will be in to get Trump out of office, because you won't be able to do it through Congress.
Well, I would agree with you on that, and I don't think that you actually had the voices. We've been talking about this off air for a while. I think the voices like ours go away. I don't think that we are allowed, especially if things, and I believe the economy is going to go to crap. Even if Jesus was in office, it's going to naturally reset. It has to.
Under the policies of Trump.
Well, Glenn Pecker, it looks like you put your foot in it this time. You make a lot of money. What's a week off? Yeah, you want a vacation anyhow. They're already talking about an assassination. Jesus. LOL, I'll tell you. These right-wing radio talk show guys are funny as hell. But anyhow, you know what we're interested. All we want is chaos. We don't want necessarily Trump to get in anywhere. You know, the thing is, Trump says a lot of things that a lot of us like to hear. But you know that most of what he says that we like to hear will never happen. But anyhow, it's funny. It's funny. But all the billions of dollars in press coverage that this has gotten, promoting actually chaos, the press is working hand in hand with Terrible Tommy, and it's going quite well. And, of course, when they attack Trump, they're really attacking the working class and working class whites, especially in this country. Don't you recognize it? I was talking to a guy about that yesterday. I said, every time these press people go crazy about Trump, they're attacking you because you see some things that Trump says that you agree with. So you're stupid. You're dumb. You're a neo-Nazi. So I love it because people begin to understand that the press hate their guts. All the corporate press hate your guts if you're a white working person. Yeah. Well, let's spend a little more time in this little book I dug out of my library here. I've had it. It's been in my library for... I've got a lot of books that have been in my library for 30 years. And some of them I have never read yet. So anyhow, The race question, among the many books we consulted on the race problem, is The Race Question from The White Chief by Archibald Cuddy IV in his remarkable outspoken book, The Thoughts of the Late American Statesman Governor of Mississippi, 1904 to 1908, and U.S. Senator from 1913 to 1919, James Kimball Vardaman, on intermixing of the white and Negro races are expounded with logic and sincerity. These truths are most helpful and timely at the present most dangerous situation of our country is in. Now, this was written in 1959. One must consider our racial problem in the light of facts based on natural law and avoid mere theories, which as such have no value at all. These theorists hope of changing human nature, which, however, persists to remain unchanged as the leopard spots. No race is called upon to break its birth invidious bar, but has the right to take its place among the other races, measured by merit, achievement, and ability. On this ground, every race and every man stands an equal without qualification. There is no other basis for equality, for whenever a right or a privilege is demanded, it implies that the ability to discharge the duties and responsibilities which are inseparable, part of the very right. A privilege is meaningless without a companion duty. Every individual and every race which demands rights, which have been won by stouter hearts and stronger hands, must be prepared to demonstrate the capacity to properly use that which comes as a gift. Well, you don't get a right anyway as a gift or anything else. There is no such thing as a right. A right, allegedly, is something can't be taken away from you because it's endowed by your maker and all that kind of stuff. Well, nature gives you a chance to survive. It gives you strong muscles, keen eyes, good bloodlines, and so forth. But there's no guarantee. So there is no such thing as a right. Anybody with more power can kick your door in and put a bullet in your head anytime they want. The Negro is entitled to equitable treatment and equal opportunity. Well, I don't believe that, but not the same treatment. This statement is equally true if we substitute white man for the word Negro. The practical effect of this means justice instead of a theoretical equality, which produces injustice and animosity. The recognition of the fact that the Negro and the white man are different eliminates the question of which is superior. Let us look at it this way. Nature made white, black, red, and yellow. Nature sends rain and sunshine to all alike. The earth and nature give their bounty the same return to all. But nature did not endow all races in the same way, nor to the same extent. But nature endowed them equally in the sense that each has a title in equity to the part he received. And each has absolute right to the opportunity to be all that he can. Those who go about over the world seeking to bestow the blessings of liberty and the benefits of democracy begin at the wrong end, for these things are not manna from heaven, but are the price of struggle, courage, sacrifice. Privileges and rights are the possession of the strong. And they're not automatic. Mankind is endowed with a gregarious instinct which draws people of the same race and language into a clan, a tribe, a confederation, and finally a nation. Other influences than race and language have only a minor role. This gregarious instinct is a centripetal urge that pulls man into an association with his fellows and makes survival and progress possible. At the same time, there is an instinct which repels unlike races because it is not nature's way to mix races and species, but always to develop clear and distinct species. There are two forces which hold together solid matter called cohesion and adhesion. The first is much the stronger and more durable because it holds like particles. In a similar way, a nation of like peoples is held together by the cohesion of race, language, and blood. A nation of dissimilar groups may be said merely to adhere. A small stress and it comes apart. A nation of one racial strain is most likely to progress, to grow, and maintain its existence over the centuries. A nation of one racial strain is most likely to progress, to grow, and maintain its existence over the centuries. The more racial groups in a nation, the weaker it is, and the shorter its life. The chances of war and civil strife are increased by the racial varieties, and the capacity successfully to wage war is decreased. A nation made up of diverse and unassimilable racial groups can exist only when its government, its military, and productive power are securely in the hands of a homogeneous group with the ability to rule. The attempt to have a democratic government in a nation composed of hostile racial groups is only one short step to twilight and the dark. Ancient Rome was an example. In such a nation, the government must be securely in the hands of one group, with legal and economic justice to all. Well, we're way beyond that, aren't we, boys and girls? We're total. Whoa, man. We may temper justice with a little mercy and at least exclude malice from our decisions. But in the bitter struggle for survival, authority must be in the hands of the capable and the strong. It ought never to be forgotten that this country is a republic, not a democracy, and we as a people have never consented that the weak and the venal are to have a place of equality at the council table. Subversive groups cannot be tolerated without considering that virtue must compromise with evil. Regardless of theoretical rights, it has not yet been demonstrated that a contribution of ignorance, vice, cowardice, and greed can add anything to the sum total of human welfare and improve the quality of government. Fallacy of theorists, all the mass writers, speakers, ignorant and vicious meddlers who propose solutions of the race question have in common a number of erroneous assumptions. They also aggregate to themselves inerrancy, and their theories become in their own minds proven and demonstrated facts, conditions, and conclusions. Boy, that's all you get now in the media. This paragraph from The Valor of Ignorance by Homer Lay. And I've got the story on Homer Lay, and he was an interesting guy. He went over to Asia and became a general. And he'd never even gone to a military academy that I know of. But that's a story for another day. Thus it is that sophists and theorists and all that category have not left to mankind throughout the ages of the human race one single substantial legacy, and for no other reason that they try to invent out of the airy nothings that which laws and forces governing the world deny. They labor to create out of the nebulosity of their own sick brains elements unknown to nature. As far as the world is concerned, they might as well be a louse on the back of a wild duck as it wings its way through the stormy night. Their main contribution is confusion, thereby adding to the difficulty of arriving at a fair conclusion. One cause of the complete error of these theorists is that human racial relations are not governed by any known law, either natural or written. The only invariable rule of human action is that it is constantly variable. A second cause of error is that acts of human beings are not to be judged by the rule of perfection. or what a given person perceives as perfection. The teachings that every individual should be unselfish and should make sacrifice for others is countered by pure logic, which demonstrates selfishness as a correct way of life. If A would sacrifice for B, where is the limit? And is not B under the equal obligation to make some sacrifices for A? Why is any person or any group of persons or any race under the obligation to practice forbearance, self-denial, and charity to another? The questions merely demonstrate that neither all persons nor all races are equally subject to the same rules of conduct or law. We also must recognize that the times and conditions necessarily modify every rule of action, theoretical and practical. We must judge according to the limitations of intelligence and environment of each person or group of persons. Allowance must be made for the appraiser and his imperfections. There are two distinct evils in the American practice of dealing with fundamental problems. One is the attempt to find a solution by passing a law before public opinion has been formed, and the other is to assume the authority of our courts to control opinion by the construction of laws and annulling of statutes in an effort to compel the people to conform to the judicial concept of what is best. Both legislature and judge should understand that the source of law is power in the hands of a majority determined to enforce its will, and back of that are forces and influences which shape and form public opinion. Both should realize and accept in its hard and practical sense the facts that they are the agents and not the principals. Legislatures are internally trying to direct and guide human progress or to make it go contrary to public opinion or to accelerate its gait. Especially is this true of bureaucrats and reformers. None of these things can be done. The judges are either trying to stop progress or force it to travel the beaten paths. Thus, the legislatures are seeking to compel humanity to get someplace in a hurry, while the judges want it to go nowhere. The harm done by legislative bodies comes mainly from the failure to understand that a law seeking to direct human destiny and to control public habits and common practices must be an expression of public opinion and be supported by the unmistakable will of the majority. The legislature itself may deal with minor routine and administrative matters relating to details, the duties of the officials, and those laws affecting particular groups of underendowed people. Members of legislative bodies, both state and national, are unable generally to distinguish between the two classes of laws. Our system of election favors the selection of legislatures representing what Theodore Roosevelt termed the lunatic fringe, and those who promise each group and bloc what it wants. Truly, the East is East and the West is West, and never the twain shall meet. The nature made them as they are, and the wise man accepts the work of the nature. Foolish men seek to remake races according to their crazy plans. And when they have done their worst, the subjects are twofold more children of hell than before. The attempt to change a race of people in such a way as to reach a planned result is monstrously preposterous. It's fantastic. No man can predict what his own son will become, regardless of planning, laws, schools, and precept. Our children are not uniform products as planned. How then consider changing the whole race according to plan? It cannot be done. These general principles apply to all races in any age. They govern the slow pace of all the races of men. Each goes its way, creating its language, laws, customs as it travels. the introduction of customs and laws which are foreign affects the racial course, but cannot make two distinct races pursue a parallel course. For example, the life of the Indian or Mongol in North America. In the case of the Negro in America, we have a race removed from its homeland and set down amongst a wholly different race. Again, it is impossible to make the two races travel parallel courses. But our theorists insist that the course be not only parallel but identical and the rate of progress be the same. It is here we join issue and insist that the white man and the black man cannot progress in the same way at the same rate. There should be a frank admission of differences found to exist and provision made for these peculiar qualities of each race. The permanent adjustment of the race question depends on the recognition of its principles. There is no need for race hostility and no need or gain for one race to hate another. Ordinarily, there is no dislike between races or members of two races. This thing of race prejudice and race friction and conflict arises only when the two distinct races attempt to dwell together in fairly equal numbers and on a basis of equality. Perhaps race prejudice is a wise and natural instinct to preserve man in clearly defined species. The feeling is so age-old and worldwide that it is entitled to respect, at least. Race antagonism is natural and instinctive, and is just one evidence of our dislike of what is different. Its existence proves we are human. Differences in color, language, religion, nationality, and a host of other things cause antagonism and prevent affection and friendship. Our friends are those who have much in common with us. It is foolish to hope for cordial relations on any other basis. The Negrophiles prove the point of their hatred, real prejudice of their fellow citizens who do not accept their ideas. In every place on earth, there is more or less strife between races and people. The basic trouble is just difference. This difference ranges all the way from the color of the skin to social, religious, and political ideas. This worldwide occurrence of race antagonism is governed by the same general principles. As already stated categorically, race friction arises when two diverse kinds of people are brought into contact. It is intensified by the presence of approximately equal numbers of the two groups, especially if there is a social and political equality. Another factor which increases the dislike is economic competition. Race dislike and hostility are diminished by separation and the fixing of definite geographical borders. Also by fixing a status of superior and inferior, where two races are nearly equal in numbers, these facts are accepted by all who have knowledge of the question and are proven by all experience. It should be stated emphatically that racial differences and other differences as well cause friction and antagonism to a great extent in democratic or republican countries than where government is in the hands of a relatively small ruling class. To give equal rights and privileges to hostile groups in the same republic is to invite hatred, disorder, and destruction. Man must realize that no one can proceed contrary to the laws of nature with impunity. If man insists upon integration of the races, nature will react with the emergence of such new problems and changes in genetics and in emotional, mental, and intellectual disturbances that the entire population of the nations, countries, and of peoples will be affected according to their detriment. Then physical, emotional, mental, moral, and spiritual decadence will have set in. Well, we've been going down that road for a long time. The question arises, how dare man boast of his mechanical and materialistic achievement when they interfere with the spiritual laws of nature and of the universe of which he knows very little or nothing at all. Man, in his egotism, thinks he can improve on nature, and he tries to step into fields outside of his jurisdiction. Man, furthermore, insists on trying to justify his actions in doing so. Therefore, in continuing to think and act along the present lines, man proclaims that the laws of nature are wrong and he is right. According to the natural law of affinity or of like attracts like, animals of the same species and men of the same habits aesthetically and intellectually gravitate together. Cows, goats, sheep, horses may graze together in the field, but when the time comes for them to retire to their sleeping quarters, the animals of each of these different species will segregate in one place and keep themselves separate from all the other animals. Things and beings of different characteristics just do not mix. When the difference in the characteristics and nature between animals is too great, the very moment they meet, they fight each other to death, like a cat and a mouse. Or a dog and a rabbit, a wolf and a sheep. These type of animals must remain separate for the sake of their mutual health and safety. In the same way, types of men of different psychological, aesthetic, and intellectual differences should separate for the sake of their own health, safety, peace, physical, moral, mental, spiritual, and those of the society in which they live. This results in the segregation of the races, which is harmony with natural law. This is the same for which when a sober person finds himself in the company of drunks, he feels uneasy, and as soon as possible he separates himself from this uncongenial surrounding. Many times vegetarians have a similar experience when eating in the company of meat eaters, drunks, and smokers, and vice versa. The other persons may be their relatives or close friends. Nevertheless, they feel in the innermost of their heart a repulsive feeling growing within them, pulling them away from this uncongenial environment. They just cannot help it. It is the working of the psychological law of harmony which was broken. People who are forced under adverse circumstances or by ignorance to live under such physical, psychological, and intellectual inharmonious conditions will gradually develop certain mental and emotional disturbances which in due time will manifest into certain kinds of ailments. We believe that the present day increase in mental ailments is the result of the breaking of this law, natural and psychological law of affinity of like attracts like, in existing inharmonious surrounding in the home, in society, in the press, radio, and television all over the country. It is a fact that everything vibrates and at the same time it radiates, sending out invisible rays of various types of potencies, which as such penetrate men everywhere in their everyday life, and they affect us according to the better or for the worse. We also know that the inharmonious, angular, and ugly modernistic designs and shapes of buildings, as well as the aluminum and plastic materials used in our buildings, homes, and furniture, utensils, and even our clothes contribute to a great extent with their unwholesome and inharmonious vibrations and radiations to the present-day epidemic of mysterious sicknesses and the mental ailments of which people are afflicted. Now this person gets off into architecture a little bit. Let's see what he's going to say about that. This opinion of ours, as explained above, seems to be confirmed by prominent architects. According to the report published in the New York Times on June 25, 1959, Minoru Yamasaki, a Detroit architect, won a warm acclaim at the convention of the American Institute of Architects in Hotel Roosevelt in New Orleans, Louisiana, when he stated that today's chaotic society could only be further harmed by having its discordant reflected in modern designs of architecture. He urged his colleagues to go back to the classical beauty, incorporating it in the contemporary buildings. classical serenity and beauty, he said, will serve as an antidote to the turbulent period of which we live. He further declared that we must be concerned that our buildings do not pick up this quality of inharmonious design and turn it back into our lives. Mr. Yamasaki further added that besides serenity and quality of delight in building design is essential, incorporating the effects of the play of the sun and the shadow, a use of texture and materials to give pleasure, and the silhouetting of a building against the sky. Well, you've seen all these weirdo, wild buildings in the city that get weirder and wilder and crazier and more chaotic in design. This opinion is shared by several other architects, one of whom, Mr. Perea, declared, "We are so afraid of being labeled artists that we are afraid that we are in danger of becoming only artisans, and that we have traded the white tower for the white collar and the divining rod for the slide rule. Nature, in order to counteract the sequences of all this inharmonious conditions and associations in life, makes one feel the urge to express himself, to give way to his psychological and emotional feelings, which have accumulated and press on him. In this way, the very moment he stops this, he relieves himself from this inner pressure and he feels better. However, for permanent results, man must change his present inharmonious surroundings. This method of treatment on such patients was used in the ancient Greek temples of Aesculapius and Trophonius. The reader is referring to our book. Today, if one expresses himself according to his true inner feelings and knowledge, he may be accused either of belonging to one of the many undesirable isms in our country, or his expressed opinion may be considered as nonsensical since it belongs to a very small minority of thinkers." Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. This is Freya's Day. We give tribute to the She-Wolves today. And I'll be back Monday with some more information. It's interesting how this fellow gets into architecture. And I think we can recognize that in the crazy-ass architecture you see in the big cities, you know. The classic designs are gone, and sort of like architecture and anarchy. I'll see you Monday, 14:05.